This is All Things Soul with Jay Johnson here on WBGO. My guest today is one of the most recognizable faces and voices on television today. He brings you breaking news, all news, 5 days a week, sometimes 6 or even 7 days a week, depending upon national events. He is, in my observation, one of the hardest working newscasters, journalists in Washington today. He's also one of the nicest, most decent, most patient, and most accessible in America today. I'm so excited, after having been interviewed by him dozens of times over the years, to have a chance to interview him today on All Things Soul. I bring to you the host of CNN's Situation Room, Mr. Wolf Blitzer. Wolf, thank you for joining us on WBGO.
My pleasure, Mr. Secretary. I'm used to usually interviewing you, so it'll be a little bit different for me and you this time.
That's right. And with a name like Wolf, you're a natural for radio. Wolf, in preparing for this interview, I discovered that you were actually born in Germany and that your parents were survivors of the Auschwitz concentration camp and that many of your family actually perished there. And you immigrated here as a young boy, and you and your family settled in Buffalo, New York. So I guess the question I have for you is, how did you go from Buffalo to being a cable news host? What brought you to news?
It's a good question. One little correction. My grandparents on my dad's side were killed at Auschwitz. My parents are both Holocaust survivors, but they were not at Auschwitz. They were at other slave labor camps, other concentration camps, but never at Auschwitz. My dad grew up in the town of Auschwitz, but he was not an inmate at the Auschwitz death camp. So that's just I want to point that out. But my grandparents on my dad's side, my paternal grandparents, were killed at Auschwitz. And I was asked a few years ago to do a piece for CNN on my family history, my heritage. I happened to have been at the time in Israel covering one of the wars in Gaza. When I heard that they wanted me to do this, I went to the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial Center in Jerusalem. And it's there that I went through a lot of documentation and discovered that my paternal grandparents actually, I knew they had been killed in the Holocaust, but I didn't know where until I saw that they had been killed at Auschwitz. One thing the Nazis did do is they kept records. So I discovered that. I wound up in Buffalo. I was born in Augsburg, Germany. Just before I was born, the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate passed what was called the Displaced Persons Act of 1948, which President Truman quickly signed into law. It granted 400,000 visas to come to America for so-called displaced persons, including Holocaust survivors. And my dad one day was in Munich, Germany, and saw a long line. And he said, in those days, you see a long line, you go wait in line, because there must be something good at the end of the line. Why are all these people waiting in line? So he went and waited in line. And then after a while, he asked the woman in front of him, Fräulein, why are we waiting in line? And she said, visas. And my dad said, for what? America, she said. He got to the front of the line. He signed himself up. My mom had a sister and two brothers who survived. My dad had one younger sister who survived, signed them all up. And within a matter of a few weeks, they were notified that they'd been approved to come to the United States. And in those days, they would tell you where you were going to. And they said to my dad, you're going to Buffalo. My dad said, Buffalo, where's that? They said, New York. And so my dad said, oh, New York, you know, a lot of Jewish people in New York, it'll be good. He didn't know Buffalo was 400 miles from New York. But eventually, they got on a boat. They came to the United States. They landed in Boston. The Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, the highest, had bought them tickets to take a train from Boston to Buffalo, $12 a ticket in those days. They wound up in Buffalo. That's where I grew up. So that's how my family wound up in Buffalo. Now, how I wound up as a journalist, when I was in graduate school at the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies in Washington, D.C., I got a master's degree in international relations. I was studying, and professor said, what are you going to do? And I wasn't really sure. He said, well, do you want to be a journalist? And I said, well, I never studied journalism. He said, you want to be a foreign correspondent? And I said, sure. It sounded exciting. I love to travel. The Reuters News Agency, which is a British wire service, had a program to train young journalists, potential journalists. And I applied. I was accepted. And the first assignment they gave me was in their bureau in Tel Aviv, Israel. I was being trained by a bunch of old-time British journalists who were there, and they were really good, and they gave me a lot of excellent instruction, and they sent me out in the field to do some reporting. I realized that this is something I really love doing. As a kid growing up in Buffalo, by the way, my parents were news junkies. They would watch Walter Cronkite every night in the CBS Evening News, made my sister and me watch it. And so I became a news junkie. And I always tell young people looking at careers, I always tell them, if you can find a career that you're passionate about, that you love doing, that you feel you'll get up every morning and you look forward to going to work, you'll enjoy life a lot more. You'll do your career a lot better. So go into some area that you really are passionate about. And when I saw there was an opportunity to go in, become a news junkie and make a living doing it, I did it. And here I am all these years later, still doing it. So it's been a great, great opportunity for me.
I know the feeling. Wolf, I actually thought a lot about what I would ask you. You've covered and you've seen so much in terms of world national events over the years. What in your view do you consider to be a good broadcast, a good show? What type of show is it where you say to your staff, that was a really good show we did, thanks a lot?
My attitude is, and it goes back to my early training, if the readers or the viewers or the listeners feel that they've emerged from that show a little bit smarter, a little bit more knowledgeable about something important, then it's been a good show. And that's my goal, to leave the viewer and the listener a little bit smarter at the end of the newscast than they were going into the newscast. And one of the ways I can determine that is if I am a little bit smarter at the end of the newscast, and I've learned something in the course of my reporting all day, in the course of my researching all day, if I feel I've learned something and I'm a little bit smarter as a result of that, I suspect most of my viewers will as well. So, right. And I'll give you an example. Yesterday, we had 2 hours in the Situation Room. We're doing a 2-hour show now from 5 to 7. We were following up on the Pelosi assault out in San Francisco. And we were getting all sorts of new information during the course of the day. The FBI had released the criminal affidavit on what they knew. The suspect had confessed to doing all that when he was picked up. After he was read his Miranda rights, he said how he wanted to break Nancy Pelosi's kneecaps. He assumed she would be there. And then wheel her in to the U.S. House of Representatives as a signal, as a message to the other members. If you don't follow what I'm telling you, you're going to wind up in a wheelchair as well. Because if you break somebody's kneecaps, they really can't walk. We did an extensive review of what we had learned during the course of the day. It was pretty stunning to me, but I learned a lot of new information. And so that was considered that to be a solid, strong newscast.
I confess that I've been on your show when I was in office as Secretary of Homeland Security, right in the immediate aftermath of a terrorist attack. And I'm sitting there in real time learning things, watching your show while I'm on your show. So I understand exactly what you mean.
We were fortunate that we had your successor, Alejandro Mayorkas, as a guest on the show. And he went into detail in describing the latest Department of Homeland Security, FBI, U.S. Capitol Police joint intelligence bulletin that they put out warning of increased political violence, extremist violence, leading up to the midterm elections, and why they did that, what the information they had. And I learned from him in the course of this exclusive interview we had with Secretary Mayorkas, new information, which I thought would be new information for our viewers as well.
Right. Wolf, I know you have an honorary degree from Howard University, and I know that many Americans, particularly African Americans, identify you with election night 2008, because to many Americans, you were the one who announced, broadcast, that Barack Obama would be our next president of the United States. What do you remember most about that evening? How did that, I'm not asking you for a political reaction, but I'm asking you really on a personal level, what that evening meant to you.
It was very, very powerful for me personally on many levels. We had seen the exit polls earlier in the day showing that he was doing really well in these key battleground states with the Electoral College. But we certainly couldn't make a projection. We couldn't call a winner until the polls had closed in respective states. And we knew that California, the states out in the West Coast, wouldn't close till 11 p.m. And that's when he would go over the magic number of 270 electoral votes needed to be elected president. So we couldn't say who would be the next president until the polls in California and Washington State, Oregon had closed. But we were ready as soon as those polls closed and we could see that he was going to carry those states and go over 270. I went on the air and said, CNN now projects Barack Obama will be the next president of the United States. He will become the first African-American president of the United States. And we had a huge audience. CNN was simulcast on CNN International. And we probably had a billion viewers because many of the countries around the world were just taking the CNN feed. China, for example, took a CNN feed at that moment. And India, Brazil, huge countries with huge populations. People all over the world were watching. But people all over the United States were watching CNN as well. We had a huge audience, including in Chicago, where the president-elect was with a lot of his supporters. And they were all watching CNN at the same time when I made that announcement, that projection. And for days, weeks, and even to this very day, Mr. Secretary, African-Americans come up to me, especially older African-Americans, and they say, Wolf, thank you. And I say, what are you thanking me for? Thank you, because you told us that Barack Obama would be the next president of the United States. And we never believed in our lives we would see that until you told us that he had been elected. And so they were giving me some credit for that. Supposedly, I had something to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. I just reported that he got more than 270 electoral votes. But they were thanking me. And to this very day, you know, a lot of Black people come up to me and say, thanks, Wolf. Thanks for doing that. You know, I never thought it would happen in our life until we heard you say it. And then, you know, we admire you for that. And so I got a lot of credit. I don't know if that's one of the reasons Howard University here in Washington, D.C. decided to invite me to give their commencement address and get an honorary degree. I like to think it was because at CNN and the Washington Bureau, we always sought out Howard University journalism students for internships and tried to help them get a career in journalism, work with them. And it's many of the Howard grads, after they finished school, after they graduated, did join us at CNN. And we're very proud of that. Many of them are still with us to this very day. And so I like to think that when I used to go over to Howard, and I still like to do that nowadays, and speak to students, that was important and why they decided that maybe I deserve an honorary degree from Howard University. And I'm very proud of that degree. And it makes me very happy knowing. I've received honorary degrees from other universities, but Howard, as you can imagine, is very special.
Wolf, I know you're a fan of music. WBGO is principally jazz. We're a public radio station based in Newark, New Jersey. On weekends, we are classic R&B. My show is classic rhythm, blues, music, soul. And tell us about your taste in music, specifically R&B and jazz.
Well, I grew up listening to R&B in Buffalo, and it was just my kind of music, whether it was the Temptations or the Four Tops, you know, groups like that, or James Brown. Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. People like to say I'm the James Brown of the news business because he was the hardest working man in show business. And they say I'm the hardest working man in the news business.
So good. So good. I got to hear.
I love all those artists. You know, the Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder. I grew up with them. It's my kind of music, and it's just special to this day. When I'm driving around in my car, I'll listen to that music because it puts me in a good mood. So it's something special to me, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for that, Wolf. Ladies and gentlemen, this has not been a CNN broadcast. This has been All Things Soul with WBGO. Wolf Blitzer, thank you for sharing your time with us. One thing that I will say to our listening audience, whenever I'm interviewed by you, a producer comes on at the end of the interview and says, during a break, please stay on. Mr. Blitzer would like to thank you. And you always take the time during commercial break to come on with your interviewee and say thank you for the time. So, Wolf, back at you. Thank you for spending a few moments with us here on WBGO.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and we really appreciate whenever you come into the Situation Room, my Situation Room. I know you worked at another Situation Room down the street at the White House. Mine is bigger, and it's got better video technology than your old Situation Room did. But I'm always grateful to you for joining us, and I look forward to our next interview, of course, because whenever you're on the show, our viewers do emerge a little bit smarter than they were, a little bit more knowledgeable than they were before the show.
Thank you, Wolf.